That is good. So good. And a great, great truth. Amen. Love it. It's good. So good. And I know Brittany was terrified, but praise the Lord. She's going, appreciate our young people. In fact, we have on the schedule coming up, I'm thinking this is the 1st of May. I'm not sure. Patty, are you here? Nursery. All right. I think it's 1st of May. It's either 1st of April or 1st of May. This is March, right? So it's got to be the 1st of May. We're going to have one Sunday night. It'll be the teen service. And they're doing everything. I mean, everything. They are, and they can. Our teenagers can do it. They can do all. I mean, you think about that. That is such a blessing. We have young people. They can do all the music. They can play the instruments. They can do the offering. They can run off with the offering. No, but they can. They're going to make the announcements. They're going to do the preaching. The girls aren't. No, but they're going to do the whole evening service. I am looking forward to that. They are the future. You understand that, don't you? And I love it when we are able to use them, and I love it when they're willing to be used. And I praise the Lord for our teens, and praise the Lord for their willingness to just let God use them. Again, Tuesday night, you will see Mrs. Potter and I and others that have worked with our music program in our church and our school. We want our young people, the fine arts is a good thing and everything, but we want them to get trained to do something for God. We want them to be trained where they can play the piano for the church service, they can play the organ for the church service, they can do special music, they can do special things, and even the drama and skits and all those crazy things, you know, God can use that. And, I thank the Lord for our teens and the little skits that that they do. I was just a little bit embarrassed tonight with Mel and Zaya. I was a little embarrassed. They were talking about the glow, and it is hard to hide the halo. Well, it's hard to hide. Moses had the same problem, and they told him... Anyway, but I hope you get it. I really do. I hope it is fun to serve God. It's fun. It's wonderful. And I hope you also got in the midst of the basketball and the auditorium and everything. I hope that you got the fact that on the 23rd, that is a Saturday, there will be a fellowship. And that starts at 3 o'clock. Is that correct? With the scavenger hunt, and I have no idea what that's about. I'm not sure I want to know. And then a meal at 5 o'clock, and there'll be a sign-up sheet next week. So just mark your calendar for the 23rd. That, again, is on a Saturday. And plan on that activity. It'll be a lot of fun. And, we can outfund the heathen any day. We really can, and we don't have to regret it. Well, we shouldn't have to, but... When the lessons are involved, you just never know. But anyway, we're in Titus chapter 1. All I can think is if the basketball somehow went wild, and judging from the three guys in the middle of the aisleway, all I can think of is that chandelier getting hit. And that would have been exciting. Would have hit you in the head, wouldn't it, Steve? You have a shiny head, too. I'm sure for the same reason that I do. It's because we're bald. But Titus 1 and verse 1, we started on this morning. We're talking about the respect for truth. The respect for truth. Again, the month of March is a time for truth. We've talked about the record of truth, the reality of truth, the reception of truth on Wednesday. This morning, we talked about the respect for truth. And truth prosecutes the sinner, and two, truth provides the solution. So the same truth that shows us that we're lost and on our way to hell, it's the same truth that then gives us the gospel and tells us how we don't have to go to hell. Tells us how we can keep from going to hell. And so We need to have respect for that truth. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Again, there is a truth that is just truth. There's lots of truth in the world. 1 + 1 = 2. H2O equals water. Capital of Michigan's Lansing. We learned those deep truths this morning. But Paul's talking about acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. He's talking about biblical, Bible truth. And verse 2, in hope of eternal life. Truth that will give you eternal life. Truth of salvation. And the truth, it says, which God did cannot lie, promise before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which, by the way, his word is truth, which is committed unto me, the whole word, it's committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so Paul has said that he acknowledged the truth, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. He said, I acknowledge, I have a respect for the truth. I have a respect for God's word, and I'm acknowledging that. It is the way of eternal life. It's the way to have abundant life. And therefore, we need to have a respect for truth. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Please speak to our hearts. Thank you for the good music tonight. Sure has been a blessing. Thank you for everything, the smiles, the joy, the rejoicing. And Lord, we're sure privileged to be your children. And we're sure privileged to be able to gather like this tonight. Please speak to our heart through your truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Amy, you were going to sing a song. Not today? Okay, she was all excited about a song about truth, and so I thought you're turning red. That's good. Praise the Lord. All right. Mary was going to help her. Weren't you, Mary? You're going to practice? All right. All right. Very good. They have a real good truth song. But, it's something. We talk about truth, and really, we're kind of used to the truth. I mean, honestly, we in every phase of the ministry at Berean Baptist Church, we want people to get the truth. That is our desire. That is, it's our heartbeat, honestly. It really is. I mean, over with the little children, out soul winning, going out in the county where Lou takes pictures, you don't have to ask him that story, but all over, we are consumed with getting the truth everywhere. We want to the missions program of Berean Baptist Church. We're consumed with getting the truth in other countries to other people, getting it to everybody. We are consumed with getting it to shepherds and that ministry. And we're no matter what it takes. And we'll talk throughout this month about the truth and just like Vacation Bible School, sometimes you have to kind of decorate it a little bit, but the whole idea, the main thing, and it's got to stay the main thing, is we must get the truth out. That's why we have Berean Baptist Academy, because we want to get the truth out. 2 + 2 = 4. By the way, that's nothing compared to God's truth, and God's truth is the most important truth that we deal with day after day after day, and we want to get that truth out. And in our day, this day, truth is just kind of shoved aside anymore. It's been traded for feelings. It's been traded for convenience. It's certainly been traded for money. It's been traded for things. Truth is traded for popularity, and on and on and on. I mean, truth, there is a battle as far as in our day to keep the truth in people's lives, to keep the truth in your home, to keep the truth, sad to say this, in churches. Because there are other things that obviously that truth, remember, it's boundaries. It's a set boundary. It's this is black, this is white, there's the line. You know, truth is, it doesn't have wiggle room. Truth doesn't have all this, like error, you know. And I think the best illustration is 1 + 1 = 2, period. That's it. Error says, no, 1 + 1 can be anything. Can be anything. And so now that's what we have religiously. Anything goes. It's okay. Doesn't matter. You know, God is a God of love. He doesn't care. These are catchphrases of the day. Now the truth is to be respected. There should be a respect for truth. And this morning we talked about our precious salvation. Praise God. God. I mean, the truth prosecutes the sinner, but the truth provides the solution. We need to respect it. And most of us would say, amen, hallelujah. But you know what? Truth doesn't end there. There's a whole lot more truth that we have to deal with day in and day out. And there's seven things tonight that I want to give you, and I will go quickly, but we must respect about the truth. Number one, truth preserves. Truth preserves. Go to Psalm 85 and verse 10. We talked about mercy and truth today, and I want to show you something. Truth preserves. The book of Psalms 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. There it is. Mercy and truth. We talked about that this morning and how the truth is the law and mercy is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And in our salvation, mercy and truth have met together. They've worked together to provide us salvation. Go to Psalm 40 and verse 11. Book of Psalms again. Just go back to Psalm 40 and verse 11. And the Bible says here, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. You see that? Mercy and truth. And if together, as they work together, they preserve me. You think about fruit preserves. And those fruit preserves, they are sealed. And it seals in the flavor. And the Bible says here, truth and mercy seals our salvation in. It makes so nothing can get at it. It makes so nothing can ever change it. Aren't you glad that your salvation, the terms can't ever be changed. The promises can't ever be altered. It can't ever be messed with. The devil can't touch it. Nobody can. It is sealed together. It is preserved. Our salvation cannot be changed where God just changes his mind. Hey, it's impossible. The truth and the mercy has sealed that salvation. The law requires death for sin. Jesus satisfied the law, and there's his mercy. And again, note the boundaries right there. The law, it's satisfied with Jesus. The law says death. Jesus says I died. It's done. It's paid for. It's satisfied. Sealed. Preserved. Notice again, though, the boundary of preserving fruit, preserving meat, preserving a vegetable, it's in a jar. And that jar is sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, you know, I'm just kind of concerned. I've gotten away from God, and I just, you know, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. Can't be unsaved. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. By the way, if there were no boundaries, then we wouldn't be sealed, would we? You can't look. Try to preserve meat, fruit, those items that you would preserve as in a jar. Try to preserve it without the jar. It just kind of scatters everywhere, doesn't it? That's why a lot of people's salvation is like that. They don't understand the truth of their salvation. You can't undo it. The law is satisfied when Jesus died on the cross. Truth preserves, and it's all based on the promise of God Almighty. The absence of truth, and anything goes, and what happens? We become insecure. And we start to doubt whether we're saved or not. We start to wonder whether we're saved. Now, I'm not trying to get you, tell you you're saved if you're not saved. But if you've been saved, you are saved. And you cannot undo it. It is sealed. And mercy and truth have met together. And that the mercy of God has satisfied the law. And listen to me. There is nothing that can mess with that. Nothing will. It is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Truth preserves. Thank God for the boundaries. Thank God for the boundaries. You say, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because God said so. That's how I know. Because his truth said so. And he sticks to his truth. It has nothing to do with whether I feel it or not. If it was feeling, then I wouldn't always feel it. That's why some of you struggle. Because you don't always feel safe.
You go out here and mess up and really get messed up and all of a sudden you don't feel saved so much. Or problems come as both of the special songs tonight dealt with trials and problems and difficulties in our life. That might just be the will of God. But we get upset and then out of shape and all of a sudden we start thinking, hey, what'd you do? He didn't do anything. He didn't break his promise. He didn't break his contract. Truth and mercy, they're together. And nothing's going to break that. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you get saved, you are saved. And this idea that anything goes, it's just a matter of how you feel, that's garbage. It's foolish. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never do anything for God if you don't get a hold of that. Truth preserves. That's why, hey, I better respect this book. Because listen to me, the truth, it is the security. I hold on to that. I know I'm saved because God said so. Because it is a done deal. He said that I am justified. I am justified. And it's not because of me. It has nothing to do with me. It's because the law said I'm a sinner. Jesus said I'll die for him. And he paid the price. And I called on Jesus and I'm saved. And you can be saved too. And I hope that you are saved. Truth preserves. Number two, truth prepares. Notice Psalm 43, verse 3. Back in Psalm 43 and verse 3. So many verses on truth. Psalm 43 and verse 3. The Bible says here, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Boy, I read that and got so excited. Isn't that good? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Why? So I don't know which way to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't know where I'm supposed to be next. I can't see. Oh God, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Truth prepares us. Truth leads us. Notice where they're going. Verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. Unto God my exceeding joy. You say, I'm miserable tonight. Hey, you need truth to lead you. Because that's where the joy is. I'll go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Truth prepares. Truth leads to the altar. What's that? That's a place of sacrifice. God's truth prepares us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And as God leads, you know, you say, yeah, but I don't like it. I know, and you don't like the valley either. I understand that. Who does? You know, I don't like that altar. I don't like that sacrifice. I remind you, the psalmist said, that is the place where my God, the God of exceeding joy, that's where he is. God, I need led there. You know, we don't just automatically go to the altar, do we? We don't just automatically crawl up on the altar and say, I die. It's not hardly. No, we don't. Huh? We don't like that, do we? No, we don't. None of us do. We like us. Paul said, I die daily. And we sometimes will quote that, well, bless God, I die daily. And we're just kind of flipping about it. Truth of the matter is, truth, God's light, God's truth, has to lead us to that place. It doesn't just happen overnight. If it did, it's not real. Sometimes it's through those tough times. Sometimes it's through those challenging times. Sometimes it's on our knees. Sometimes it's through a time of fasting. Oftentimes it's through some kind of a trial or some kind of problem. But ultimately, we must let the truth guide us and prepare us so that we can present ourselves a living sacrifice for God, whatever he wants. There's not a person in this room who is saved that should walk out of here and say, you know, I've never given my life to God. Not a person should. Not a person. We always talk about teenagers. You know, well, bless God, you know, you need to surrender your life for God. And they should. But you know, every adult ought to surrender their life for God too. Every person ought to. Well, how do I get to that place? Truth. Truth prepares you for that. Truth prepares you. Truth says, pick up the wood, carry the wood. Here, bring the fire. Take the fire too. Oh, well, where's the sacrifice? God will take care of it. It's okay. Amen. And it all starts with that, just like it did with Isaac. What are we going to do? Who's going to? It's okay. God will take care of it. He always does. You know, we tell our young children, say, hey, you ought to be willing to do anything God wants you to do. And then we as adults tremble.
What if God calls them to be a missionary? With the economy the way it is, how will they make it?
They'll make it the way God's people have always made it, with God. Amen. So tired of everybody having to have it all written out and have a budget that's going to tell you exactly how you're going to make it. There is no such thing with God. He just says, let me lead you.
I'll show you how to get to Bible college. Here's the first step. Go. I'll show you how to pay for it. Here's the first step. Trust. I'll show you. Work hard. Man doesn't work, neither should he eat.
But let God lead. Don't stop God in his leading.
Truth. Truth. Prepare. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Boy, this is good stuff. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Says here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Just preach about this. And patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And notice what he's doing. Add to these things. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things, these are exceeding great and precious. What are they? Promises. That's truth. That's truth right here. It's the truth. That's why. You say, well, I'm sure glad I'm saved. Yeah, but God has more for you. He has more truth he wants to give you. Why? He wants to lead you to that altar. He wants you to lead you to that place where you say, God, here I am. You can have me. Whatever you want, you can have me. Here I am. That's what he wants. And he has all these things. We talked about those as being accessories to your salvation. Apps, if you will, if you remember that on Wednesday night. And God has so much for us. So much for us. Teach a child to read. We show them what is the truth. The alphabet's the truth. We teach a child math, and we teach them how to add, subtract, multiply, divide. That's the truth. What is it? It's a set of rules to prepare them for whatever they are supposed to do. And to prepare them, and God says, here, I've got a set of rules to prepare you for whatever it is I want you to do, so that you can eventually say, here I am. Here I am. Whatever you want me to do, God. You want me to play a violin in church? Here I am. I learned how to play the violin when I was in elementary school. So I can play the piano in church? Yeah. Here I am, Lord. I learned when I was in school, when I was a child. You want me to sing, God? Yeah, I learned how to sing. You want me to preach, God? Yeah, I learned how to preach. Yes, I learned how to teach the Bible to children. Yes, God, I can do anything you want me to do because I'm prepared, because I followed your truth all along the way. I don't know what we're so afraid of. God may call me to be a missionary to the North Pole. Amen. You can handle it. God calls you. Wherever he calls you, you can handle it. Amen. Doesn't matter where he calls you. You can do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. The word meet there means prepared. Sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Fit, prepared for what? For the master's use. Truth is the only thing that will prepare us for that. Nothing else can. Are you listening? This book right here, nothing else will prepare you like this book.
Now, you need to learn English if you speak English. You might need to learn Spanish if you go to a Spanish country. You might need to learn other language. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. You need to learn history. You need to learn English. You need to learn math. You need to learn all those things. But how in the world could we as Christians who claim that truth prosecutes a sinner and truth provides a solution, and we rejoice and get all excited about that, and then we decide this book isn't so important? We have no respect. This truth right here, this is the thing that will prepare you for anything God has for you. Anything God wants you to do. And I promise you this, moms and dads, we will stand before God as to how we expose our children to the truth. We will stand before God. We will, as a church, stand before God. And other churches will stand before God Almighty. And we will have to explain just how we dealt with the truth. And if it's just kind of shoved aside in our home, it's kind of shoved aside in a church, it's kind of shoved aside in our school, if it's not important to us, we have no respect for it. And it's what prepares us. There's nothing that will prepare you more for God and doing what God wants than the truth. Well, what about making lots of money? I guess that's up to God. I suppose that'd be up to him, wouldn't it be? Does he own the cattle on a thousand hills? Does he pave the streets with gold? Does he have his gates made out of pearl or not? I mean, let's try to decide here. Is the truth something? Hey, I respect the truth. This is important to me. Amen, because truth prepares. Number one, truth preserves. Number two, truth prepares. Number three, truth protects. Psalm 91, verse 4. A lot of verses in the Psalms about truth. David, literally, I mean, he talks about the truth over and over and over again, recognizing it was truth that protected him. It was truth that cared for him. It was truth that preserved him. It was truth that prepared him. Psalm 91 and verse 4. Don't you love this verse? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Truth protects. Tim in chapel on Tuesday, he preached about the walls of Nehemiah and how those walls kept the bad out, but they also kept the people in. I understand the walls keep the bad out, but they also keep the people in. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. Isn't that sad? The truth. What's my protection? Truth. Truth is my protection. Truth is your protection. How many times do I get pulled on by error? It happens all the time. Error pulls. Error pulls with money. Error pulls with popularity. Error pulls with I hate you, preacher. Error pulls. Error tugs on you. It pulls at you. You listen to me. Be a pastor someday, ladies. No. They're doing it all over the place because error allows it. Amen. I'm telling you. Listen to me. Error will pull on you all the time. Well, do this. Do this. Well, he's doing it. He's doing it. She's doing it. They're doing it. They're making lots. They're successful. They're doing it. Hey, pull on. And I'm telling you. You know what? You know what happens when error starts to pull? It's like this. It's like pull, 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 clunk. Oops. What's this? Truth. Truth. And then it's the other way, you know. Pull, 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 pull. Clunk. What's that? Truth. Man, I'm surrounded by truth. Good night, there's walls all around me. What if I want to stray? God says, you're such a dummy. You need my walls. And I say, you are absolutely right, God. Truth. Truth does exactly what the walls of Nehemiah was set up to do. We have scammers today all the time. They're trying to get into your wallet. They're trying to get in your bank account. I mean, they're trying to get your money. Scammers, they'll use every kind of deception. What will stop them? Truth. You know, that's the only hope you've got is they get your information, they try to use it, and somebody says, wait a minute, I don't think you're the, you know, you ever try to use your charge card and all of a sudden it says it's stopped because there's weird stuff on it? Yeah, boy, that'll wake you up real fast. And what is it? Somebody said, you know, I don't think this person is who they say they are. And it stops them. Then you say, wow, I'm sure glad for the truth. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, you know when the Bible talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing? Is he a sheep? But he looks like a sheep. Is he a sheep? But he looks like a sheep. Oh, he sounds like a sheep, too. Yeah, he's learned how to disguise his voice. And instead of saying, rah, he says, bah. But is he a sheep? He looks like a sheep, and he sounds like a sheep. He puts on sheep cologne, like some he uses. Sheep cologne, that's funny. But that's not in the notes, I'm telling you. And you could imagine nobody would ever write that in their notes. But, well, except for Mel Mel and Zai. Anyway, is he a sheep? He looks like it, he sounds like it, and he smells like it. Is he a sheep? No. No. Now, folks, listen to me now. You need to understand. I'm going to go out and see that sheep out there. And God said, but he's a wolf. Yeah, but he looks like a sheep. And he sounds like a sheep. And he smells like a sheep. And God says, you just trust my truth. What's the Bible say? Try the spirits. Why? Because there's evil spirits out there. And they're trying to scam you and deceive you. That's why we stick with the old King James Bible. There's so much stuff out there, so much junk out there, so many others. The latest, I just read about this recently. I mean, it's kind of like a version a month. And how many of you heard of the latest? I don't know if it's the latest or not. There's probably another one out there. It's called The Message. Anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, big time. Boy, that's a bestseller. Oh, by the way, let me mention to you, bestseller usually goes along with that. Seller. Bestseller. But I was kind of looking up some information about this thing, and this thing called The Message. Romans 15:13, the Message says, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy. What in the world is green hope? Oh, it's probably hugging trees. That's popular today. Why would you make the Bible say something like that? That isn't what the Bible says. But why would you make it say that? Well, you want to please people. You want people to buy it that are into the green thing. You know, we're green. Yes, you look green. And anyway, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. It says this. It says, those who use and abuse the earth and everything in it don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. You're not going to buy that? No? That isn't what the Bible says, by the way. By the way, this new version, it is also pro-homosexual. Plays right into the hands of those who teach that homosexuality is a natural condition. You hear this all the time. That God can bless instead of a sin that needs to be repented of. Every passage that condemns homosexuality in your King James Bible is tampered with in the Message. For example, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. In the KJV, it says, effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind. In the Message, it says, those who use and abuse each other use and abuse sex. Well, that's really a deep statement. In 1 Timothy 1:10, them that defile themselves with mankind is changed to the irresponsible who defy all authority, riding roughshod over God, life, sex, truth, whatever. That's not the same thing. It is weakening. And then Romans 1, 26 and 27, it literally becomes sexually confused. It says this. They have abused and defiled one another, women with women, men with men, all lust and no love. That's how they've translated that. Now, you say, what's the problem? All lust and no love. In other words, as long as there's love, it's okay. That's what you're hearing. That's what major denominations are now accepting. Well, as long as there's love involved, then it should be okay.
God isn't what God says of.
Yeah. The message. The message. Get ready. Are you ready? Here's who's recommending the message. Warren Wiersbe, J.I. Packer, Jerry Jenkins, Joyce Meyer, Stuart and Jill Briscoe, Vernon Grounds, Bill Hybels, Leighton Ford, Billy Graham, Joni Erickson Tada, Chuck Swindoll, Bill Gaither, John Maxwell, Gordon Fee, Gordon McDonald, and Max Lucado. Those are just a few of the big names. They recommend the message. Now, you say, well, you know, I mean, this is obvious to us, but is it obvious that people are recommending that you like? That's what ought to be obvious. Now, God just says, okay, when you run into a wall, it's time for you to back up. It's time for you to say, wait a minute, truth. Truth. You know, we've got Christians, Independent Fundamental Baptist. By the way, do you know who Jim Jones's biggest group was within his group that killed themselves? They came out of Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. Yeah. Now, how'd they get pulled? They got pulled away by error that attacked the truth. It's stuff like, God's a God of love. He doesn't expect us to keep all these rules. No, he doesn't expect it. No, not at all. That's why he said it. We need to have a respect for the truth, folks. It is under assault like it never has been before. And a respect for the truth and the protection of the truth. You know, the protection, to be within the walls of truth. That's why we have the Baptist Academy, to be honest with you. It is truth. Somebody said, well, let's compare test scores. Okay, let's take Bible tests and compare them. Go ahead, ruffle back here. Go ahead, burr up just a little bit. Let's do some Bible testing. Let's just see. Huh? Amen. Amen. I would never trade Bible class and chapel for a chemistry lab. Never. Wouldn't do it. Why? Because protection of the truth. Because the truth is the most important thing. Now, the other things are important. 2+2 is still important. I hope everybody knows that it's 5. Just kidding. Ah, see? Gotcha. But you know what? Truth is our protection. This book, right? And once you start attacking it, once you start discrediting it, once you start going along with all the people that say, well, a better translation is, once you start getting away from this truth right here, you enter into a land called error, and nothing is solid in error. Right. Nothing. Anything goes. And that's why people that are right on that borderline, right there, are ready to take a step out of truth and into error, they'll look at me and they'll say, well, I'll never do this. And I always look at them and say, let me tell you something. Once you leave truth, you'll do anything. And they do. And you will be, listen to me, I'm warning some folks, I promise you this, you are going to be very disappointed with the land of error. I promise you, you will. You mark my word, put it in Facebook. That's fine. I'm saying it. I'll sign it. You are going to be disappointed in the land of error. There is no stability in error. None. Number 4, truth prevents. It's kind of similar to what I just talked about, but I want to show you some things, and we're getting close. John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Talking about us. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. He said, I set myself apart that they also might be sanctified, that they might be set apart through the truth. Jesus is making it very clear. He said, I sanctify myself. And he said, they're of the world. They're going to be in the world. They're going to have to be around the world. In verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. But he said, I want to be set apart from the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. Truth is what sets us apart from the world. Why? James 1:27 says, so we can keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's why I got to be set apart from the world, so I don't get their spots. Look at Psalm 119, verse 10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Help me, let me not wander from thy commandments. It is amazing how far, when you start wandering, how far you can get. Oh my. My heart breaks, my heart aches over those who have wandered from the truth, who used to believe the truth, who used to believe the old King James Bible, took a stand on it, and now it's kind of like, well, it is kind of outdated. You know, it is kind of a drab sort of a life. I got news for you. There isn't even a comparison. I lived the life you want as a heathen. Wow. Unbelievable. Acts 2, verse 25. I got to keep moving. Acts 2, 25. The Bible says here, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. He said, the Lord's right here. He's right here. He's right here. I'm not going to wander away. He's right here, that I should not be moved. Amen. Once you leave truth's boundaries, you enter the land of error where there are no boundaries. 1 + 1 = 5. You say, well, I just feel good about 1 + 1 = 5. I know, and that's why you're going to leave truth to go to it. Because you feel like it. Yeah, but it's more fun for 1 + 1 = 6,000. That's just more fun for me. I can have more fun. I can do whatever I want to do. I can make it 6,000 today. I can make it 522 tomorrow. I don't have to be locked in, and we shouldn't have to. God's a God of love. Don't you know that God loves us? And he loves us so much, he lets us do whatever we want to do. We can do whatever we want to do. We can be whatever we want to be. God doesn't care. If you want to be a homosexual, you can be a homosexual. If you want to steal, you can steal as long as you don't hurt anybody. Amen. Right. I can look like anything. I can put a tattoo on my face. I can pierce my nose. I can pierce my nose and run a chain all the way down to my toes. And nobody should care. God certainly doesn't care because he loves me. And if I tattoo mom across my forehead, God isn't going to care. I could put 666 across there. God would understand. Because everybody's doing it. Hello. But you see, the truth. See, when you leave, you enter into a place where there are no arguments. There's nothing you can say. By the way, as you jerk your children into error, don't be shocked when they come back at you and say, huh, this doesn't matter. You said the preacher's message stunk. You said the Sunday school teacher shouldn't have said that. You said the Bible isn't always right. Hello. I'm just saying, truth prevents trouble. It really does. The key is stay with the truth. You understand in error, you're liable to do, say, or be anything. It is a slippery, slippery slope when you leave the truth. Well, I have my own truth. Yeah, I know. I know that. And if it feels good, do it. And that's what they said when I was a teenager, and I did. Then I got saved. And praise God, it isn't about feeling. Number 5, truth pressures. Oh, does it ever pressure? Why? Because it's a boundary. We talk about in basketball the full court press. What's that mean? It means take advantage of the boundary. It means take advantage of the half court line. Take advantage of the out of bounds line. Take advantage of the boundaries. Huh? There's pressure. Pressure. If there were no lines, there'd be no pressure. Yeah, can you just see the guy? They get ready to have there's no rules, no lines, and the guy takes the ball out of bounds, and everybody comes after him to pressure him, and he just goes the other way. Just dribbles up through the stands, dribbles up into the concession area, gets a bag of popcorn, just keeps dribbling around. Huh? Hey, you're out of bounds! Oh, no, no rules. No lines. No boundaries. I can do this. Yeah. That's where we are today, folks. That's why they actually even talk about letting homosexuals adopt children. That's why how did it ever even get talked about? That's how they say, you know what, it doesn't matter how the people voted, we're going to change the law. That's how they do stuff like that, because people just say, well, we can't say that's wrong. We can't say anything's wrong. You know, who could say that it's wrong?
Judge not, but thou be not judged.
If you even had a halfway decent understanding of that verse, you'd never quote it. Not with an attitude like that. That has nothing to do with it. Read the context of the thing. Hello. Bless God. You know, it just puts pressure on. That's why we don't like it. If there's no lines, there's no pressure. If there's no rules, there's no pressure. And that's why we say, you know, let me go somewhere where there's just no pressure. I don't want to be told that I have to come to the altar. I can get right with God my own way. Your heart is just so open. Pressure, 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 pressure. That's why we struggle with truth, because of the pressure that it brings. Truth of time running out. Jesus said, the hour's coming when no man can work. Time's running out. It's kind of like when you play Taboo in that hourglass. You know, when you turn that, how many of you know what I'm talking about, Taboo? Turn that thing over. Every time I turn it over, I turn it over a little extra hard. You know, when it's the other team doing it, you do it a little hard. It doesn't make any difference, but I feel good. And you watch that hourglass, and they're spouting off all these words, you know, trying to get you to say that word, and you can't say that word. And my wife is real mean about it, and she'll say, you can't say that, you can't say that, you can't say that. She's got the little buzzer right in her face. You know, pressure, 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 pressure. Why? Time's running out. Time's running out. You know, there's pressure. Truth of a penalty. It's when you're driving down the road, and you see a police car and touch the brake. And you didn't have to, but you do. There's pressure. Pressure. I don't want that penalty. Truth of morality, because deep down we know there's a right and a wrong. Felix trembled, Belshazzar's knees knocked together. Huh? It's truth of morality. Truth of sowing and reaping. Common sense. What you sow, you're going to reap. There's folks that fear that crop, and you'd like to just dismiss it by living in the land of error. I got news for you. If you live in the land of error and you plant seed, whatever you plant, it is going to come up. Doesn't matter what land you live in. Error may try to convince you that's not so bad, but it is bad. I know somebody right now that is literally reaping unbelievable, unbelievable trials. I promise you, they wet their pillow with their tears night after night after night after night. And if you look, they'd say, well, it's not so bad. Oh, is it bad? Pressure, pressure, pressure. Truth of judgment. Truth of judgment. And error says, no, God's a God of love. He wouldn't do anything. Wouldn't the Lord love if he what? Chasten it. Yeah. Chasten it. That's what the Bible says. That's true. We don't like that, though, so we'll just go somewhere else where we don't have to hear that kind of stuff. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear about a God that chastens. Don't want to hear about a God who loves. Amen. Right? Truth pressures. Number six, truth predicts. Over and over and over and over and over in the scripture it says, if this happens, then this will happen. That's truth. That is truth. Truth predicts. If this, then this. Look at Psalm 1. Good example. Psalm 1. You can count on it. You can plan on it. It is true. It is going to happen. It always happens. Never fails. And yet we play with it because we don't respect the truth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who's your counselor? Is it ungodly? Who are you under? Who do you listen to? Day after day after day. Okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, if you do this, then this will happen. If you do this, if you avoid these things, then you'll be blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What is that? That's the truth. And it says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. In what? In the truth. He's more focused on the truth than anything else. The truth is more important than anything. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a good tree, by the way, planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. Isn't that what we're here to do, is bring forth fruit? His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. that are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So what he says is, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If this, then this. Jews, if you will do right, I'll bless you. If you do wrong, you'll go into captivity. The truth predicts. It's very clear. Okay? Do right, and God's going to bless you. Now you may, as the girl sang, you may go into the valley. That doesn't mean God doesn't bless you. That's where the prettiest flowers grow. I mean, honestly, the valley is okay, we don't, yeah. I don't like the valley. And you know, the TV preacher says that I can have all kinds of money and I can have all kinds of good things and all that charismatic gobbledygook. I got news for you. It isn't all a mountain. And there are Christian brothers and sisters in this world that are suffering great, great persecution for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they're not dancing around, leaping around like a bunch of heathen and rocking and rolling to the beat of the world's music. They're just saying, God, I love you and I'm trusting you. And I know this is your plan for my life. And it's okay. And it is okay. My question is, what are you going to do when they come here? When terrorists come here, what are you going to do? Because truth predicts. And God has made it very clear, the United States of America, the more ungodly it becomes, the more it's going down. It's just inevitable. I know. Oh, no, but we're more Christian than ever. We are the form of godliness, denying the power thereof. There is no question about it. And some of you better wake up. Naaman, dip 7 times in the Jordan River. You dip 7 times, buddy, and your leprosy is gone. You have, look, 7 dips in the Jordan River, and your leprosy is gone. Do you understand that? If you do this, then this will happen. Jordan River. What about the Amana River, the Pharpar River? Those are cleaner. The Jordan River's dirty. You think your leprosy's clean? And so his, fortunately, he had some people that loved him. He had somebody that loved him. He had somebody that cared to get rid of the leprosy instead of being more popular than everybody else. He had somebody that cared that he not keep this leprosy that was ruining his body and his life. They cared more about that than what kind of money he could put in his pocket or what kind of fame he might get if he went to the Amana River and he dipped there with all the cameras and everything on him. Why? I mean, this could really be good for my career. He had somebody that loved him and said, buddy, listen to me. You better go to the Jordan River. I don't care how muddy it is, how dirty it is. I don't care if crawdads bite at your toes. You get in the Jordan River and you dip like the man of God told you to do. I imagine he got in the Jordan River and he went down once and he went down twice and he went down three. Is this enough? 7. Not 6.5. But that's true. I submit to you, folks, had he gone and dipped in any other river, he'd have died of his leprosy. Had he gone and dipped any number other than 7, he'd have died of his leprosy. But that's truth. It's very narrow. But it predicts. It predicts, doesn't it? Yeah. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, if you do that, then they shall be saved. If then. That's true. Nothing else. There isn't anything else there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If this, then this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know it. Let's go there. I'm just about done. So close, I can almost feel it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And since we're supposed to go by our feelings, if my people, there it is, if, see it, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, there it is, if, then, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's what the United States of America needs today.
Amen.
If my people, if they'll do it, if they'll do those things, then he says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll hear them. And I'll heal them. But that's the only way. It ain't going to happen any other way. It's not going to happen any other way. Somebody says, well, as long as you're sincere. Okay, so the Muslim jihadist, if he's sincere, how's that work? He's sincere, so he's allowed to come and chop your head off? Make you watch and chop off all your family's heads? Is that okay? That's where we're headed, folks. We're gonna hold hands with him and sing Kumbaya too. That's where it's headed. So as long as a Catholic is sincere about working the way to heaven, that's okay. The Jehovah's Witness, we got a little paper from them. They left it in our door the other day, and they're very sincere. They're more sincere than a lot of Christians. I'm just saying, you know, they're very sincere. So is sincerity, is that what does it? Or is it, I did what God said. If I do this, then. If, then. I close with Joshua 1:8, and that's number 7, truth prospers. I cannot tell you how many times truth has prospered. The walls of Jericho fell because truth prospered. They did exactly what God said. Again, it was one of those, if you do this, then. Joshua 1 verse 8. And I hope you're writing down all these verses because it is the truth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see it? All that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, prosperity, truth, prospers. When I meditate in the Word of God, when that's more important than anything, and when I observe to do according to all that is written therein, I'm trying, God, I'm trying to do all that is written therein. I'm working on it. I'm not making it up as I go. I'm not coming up with things that just I like. No, God, I'm really trying to please you, God. I really am. I'm trying to understand that you are holy. You said you were holy, God, and I want to be holy. I blow it a lot, God, but I want to be holy. And this truth right here, God, just keep the wall around me and keep me in your truth, because that's where prosperity is going to be. I'm talking about prosperity that goes into eternity. Okay, it may not mean, fancy cars. It may not mean popularity. It may not mean fame. It may not mean all those kinds of things. But to be honest with you, those things all burn up someday. But that which is eternal, it never burns up. It's time that we respect the truth. It's time that we understand this right here. There isn't anything more important as far as truth than what God's given us, His truth. Let's bow our heads, please.